Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Christmas Eve service at First Presbyterian Church. My name is Stephen, the lead pastor here at First Presbyterian, and we are so grateful that you've joined us so that we can share in the beauty, the joy, and the hope of Christmas together. We practice spacious Christianity here at First Presbyterian. You know, you'll meet people at many different places, theologically, spiritually, and we love it that way. We believe diversity is a strength. Questions and doubts are gifts that lead us to deeper conversations. Everyone's story is sacred, and there is a place at the table for everyone as we learn together what it means to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. So welcome. We are so glad that you've joined us for this Christmas Eve service. You know, there's a poet who said, "The Christmas spirit is the hope that tenaciously clings to your heart, announcing in the face of any indoor slammed in your face, any leaders like Herod the world can produce, any dark nights of your soul, that with God, all things are still possible, because unto us, even now, a child is born." It is my prayer that as we worship together this Christmas Eve, that a deep and enduring hope will tenaciously cling to your heart as we celebrate in the birth of Jesus, a light that shines in the darkness, and no amount of darkness can extinguish that light. And may that light burn bright within you, and may you be emboldened to carry that light into the darkest corners of our world. Welcome.
We light the Christ candle to celebrate Jesus' birthday. May we make room in our hearts for the love that was born that first Christmas to be born again in our hearts this Christmas.
Jesus, I think it's much easier to picture you in a stable, cozy in your swaddling clothes, nestled in the hay, or held lovingly in Mary's arms, Joseph looking fondly at your sleeping face. Yet this Christmas Eve, that is not where we find you. You are buried in the rubble, under the destruction of destroyed hospitals and apartment buildings. Your cry is muted by the wails of mothers who have lost their babies, the shouts of despair of terrified fathers, and the whimpers of young siblings clinging to anything that will keep them safe. It feels impossible to celebrate your birth tonight, a night when so many are mourning death. Emmanuel, God who promises to be with us. Keep your promise. Be with those in Gaza and in Israel, those who are crying out in pain and anguish. As we gather with loved ones to celebrate your birth, help us to remember you, the real you, not the cleaned up, shiny version of you in the warm stable, but you, you who is love buried in the rubble, Emmanuel, God, who shows up in the rubble of our life, their lives, all of our lives. And there is much rubble, for there are many who are hungry and tired and lonely and afraid this Christmas Eve. So Jesus, you who are in the rubble, you who are God with us, may we also be love that shows up in the rubble of lives, bringing healing and joy to this weary world. Amen.
Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. Everyone had to travel to their own hometown to be counted. Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, David's city, because he belonged in the house of David. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there were no room in the inn. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood, watching over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah. This is what you are to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." The angel was joined by a huge choir of angels singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace on earth, and goodwill to all."
Singing Silent Night is a tradition I look forward to every Christmas Eve. I also have a tradition every Christmas Eve to tell the story of Wally, who played the innkeeper in the children's Christmas pageant. Wally had one line, and he'd been practicing and practicing to deliver it with a scowl on his face and just the right tone. When Mary and Joseph knocked on the inn door, Wally was to say, "There's no room in the inn." The night of the pageant, Wally was ready. Mary and Joseph knocked on the door, and Wally was ready to deliver his line. But he took one look at Mary and Joseph, and Wally's heart was so available to love that he abandoned the script he had been given. And he said, "There's no room, but you can stay in my room." Love took over, and something beautiful happened. You know, love does that. When love takes over, old scripts are abandoned. New stories are told. Surprise endings are possible. That's what Christmas Eve and celebrating the birth of this child is all about. To make room in our hearts and allow love to take over. Because when love takes over, surprise endings are possible. And God knows this world of ours could use some new stories and surprise endings. What we celebrate on Christmas Eve is the gift of God's heart in the birth of this child. The angels announced it. The shepherds celebrated it. The wise men came seeking after it. This gift had been promised throughout the ages. And now it was happening. Yet almost everyone that night, so long ago in Bethlehem, missed it. They were busy following their old familiar scripts, not expecting new stories or surprise endings. They were busy doing something else. What's most important is always at the mercy of what's least important. Christmas Eve invites us to make room, in our hearts for the gift of that which is most important. Robert Fulghum tells a wonderful story I want to share to remind us not to miss this Christmas Eve what's most important, not to miss the real gift. Here it is. The cardboard box is marked the good stuff. As I write, I can see the box on the shelf in my office. I like being able to see it. The box contains odds and ends of personal treasures. You know, a thief looking into this box wouldn't see anything of value and would leave it be. But if the house ever catches fire, that box goes with me when I run. And one of the keepsakes in the box is a small paper sack, lunch size. The top is sealed with duct tape, staples, several paper clips. There's a ragged rip on one side through which the contents can be seen. Now, this particular lunch sack has been in my care for almost 14 years, but it really belongs to my daughter, Molly. Soon after Molly came of school age, she became an enthusiastic participant in packing lunch for herself, her brothers, and me. And each sack got their fair share of sandwiches, apples, milk, and sometimes a note or a treat. Well, one morning when I was in my usual hurry, Molly handed me two sacks as I was about to leave. One regular lunch sack and the one I mentioned with the duct tape, staples, and paper clips. "Why two sacks?" I asked. "The other one is something else," she said. "Take it with you, Daddy." You know, being in my usual hurry, I stuck both sacks into my briefcase, kissed Molly on the forehead, and rushed off. At midday, while hurriedly scarfing down my lunch at my desk, I hastily tore open Molly's other sack she gave me, and I shook out the contents. 2 hair ribbons, 3 small stones, a plastic dinosaur, a pencil stub, a tiny seashell, 2 animal crackers, a marble, used lipstick, a small doll, 2 chocolate kisses, and 13 pennies. I smiled. Yeah, how charming. And rising to go off to all of the important business of the afternoon, I swept my desk clean into the wastebasket. Leftover lunch, Molly's sack, all its contents. I mean, there wasn't anything in there I needed. That evening, Molly stood beside me while I was trying to read the newspaper. "Where's my sack?" she asked. "What sack?" I muttered, not really paying attention. "You know, the one I gave you this morning." I left it at my office. "Why?" I asked. "I forgot to put this note in it." And Molly hands me the note and says, "Besides, I want it back. Those are my best things in the sack, Daddy. The ones I really love. You've been kind of sad, so I thought you might like to play with them. But now I want them back. You didn't lose the sack, did you, Daddy?" And tears puddle in her eyes. "No, honey, I just forgot to bring it home," I lied. "Bring it home tomorrow, okay, Daddy?" "Sure, honey, don't worry." As she hugged my neck with relief, I unfolded the note that had not gotten into the sack that she just gave me. It read, "I love you, Daddy." Uh-oh. I looked at the face of my child. She was right. What was in that sack was something else. Molly had given me her treasure, her heart. All that a 7-year-old held dear. Love in a paper sack. And I had missed it. Not only missed it, but had thrown it in the wastebasket. Because I thought there wasn't anything in there I needed. It wasn't the first time I felt my daddy permit was about to run out. It was a long trip back to the office, but there was nothing else to be done. So I went, the pilgrimage of a penitent dad. Just ahead of the janitor, I picked up the wastebasket, poured out all of the contents onto my desk, and I was sorting it all out when the janitor came in. Lose something? Yeah, my mind. Worse, my heart. Well, it's probably in there already, he said. What does it look like? I'll help you find it. Now, I couldn't feel any more of a fool than I already was, so I told him. He didn't laugh. He smiled. I got kids, too. So the Brotherhood of Fools searched the trash and found the jewels. He smiled at me. I smiled at him. You know, you're never alone in these things. And after washing the mustard off the dinosaur, spraying the whole thing with breath freshener to kill the smell of onions, I carefully smoothed out the wadded sack of brown paper into a semi-functional sack. And I carefully put the treasures back inside. And I carried the whole thing home gingerly, like an injured kitten. The next evening, I returned it to Molly. No questions asked, no explanation offered. The sack didn't look so good. But the stuff was all there. And that's all that counted. You know, after dinner, I asked Molly to tell me about the stuff in the sack. And she took it out, a piece at a time. And she placed the objects in a row on the dining room table. It took a long time to tell the story, because every single thing had a story. A memory of her mother, or this was attached to dreams, or an imaginary friend. And I hadn't remembered, but I had given her the chocolate kisses. She was keeping them, she said, for when she really needed them. To my surprise, Molly gave the sack back to me several days later. Same ratty sack, same stuff inside. I felt forgiven, trusted, loved. Over several months, the sack went with me from time to time. And in time, Molly turned her attention to other things, found other treasures, lost interest in the game, grew up. Me? I was left holding the bag. She gave it to me one morning and never asked for its return. So I have it still. Sometimes I think of all of the times in this sweet life when I must have missed the love I was given. A friend calls that standing knee deep in the river and dying of thirst. So the worn paper sack is there in the box, left over from a time when a child said, "Here, this is the best I got. This is my heart. It's yours." I missed it the first time, but it's in my box now. On this Christmas Eve, we celebrate the mystery and the birth of this child, that God has given us this treasure, the gift of God's heart. I know I've missed it more than a few Christmases along the way, for one reason or another. Friends, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Christmas doesn't need to look like a matching pajama ad or a scene from a Christmas movie. If you're going to make Christmas look like anything this year, make it look like love. Make room. Make room to receive God's great gift of love for you. Let love take over. Because when love takes over, Old scripts are abandoned. New stories are told. Surprise endings are possible. When love takes over and we're reminded what's most important, we give to one another and to the world the gift that really matters. The gift of our hearts. May it be so.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
A light shines in the darkness, and no amount of darkness can extinguish that light. You know, a little bit of light can dispel a whole lot of darkness. May the light of God's love revealed in the birth of Jesus burn bright within you. May you be inspired to share that light with others, bringing as much love and goodness into the world as you can. You know, in this moment, as we sing Silent Night, make room in your heart. Let love take over, that we might give to one another and to the world the gift that really matters, the gift of our hearts, the gift of our love. As I extinguish this candle, in the words of Howard Thurman, the work of Christmas begins. To shine light into the darkest corners, to find the lost, to care for the least, to heal the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace, to make music in the heart. God is with you. Love is with you. This day, and always, Merry Christmas. As we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, Jesus gives us his own wish list for a birthday gift, and none of it comes from a store. Jesus said, whatever we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do for him. When we offer gifts to those in need, it's offering those very gifts to Jesus, food for the hungry, care for the sick, drink for those who are thirsty, hospitality for strangers, compassion for those imprisoned in body or mind. First Presbyterian Church of Bend exists to serve Jesus by serving those in need, bringing love and compassion, hope and healing where and when it is needed the most. This Christmas, many are struggling. I ask you to please give generously if you're able, so that we can be generous in love. You can make a gift online at bendfp.org. You can use the QR code on the screen, or you can mail a check to the church. Through your generous gifts, we will let those in need know that they are not alone, that God is with them, that they are loved. Thank you for joining us this Christmas Eve service. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you will join us again. Merry Christmas.